Well, it was in the 1970s something that was kind of considered idiosyncratic. It was the kind of thing that crusty academics did which had no bearing on the real world. And gradually over the 1980s and from then on, it became something that was then taken seriously. And then through the 90s and the noughties, it became recognised as a major problem. And so with that passage of time, I think people have begun to realise that this is something which will affect their own daily lives, this is something which will affect their children especially, and this is something where we have to plan for the future very carefully. So the problem has become one where I suppose there's been a groundswell of people getting interested in it, and that groundswell in the last few years has really reached epidemic proportions worldwide. We still have a long way to go in Ireland to get it onto people's everyday consciousness and to get it to move up the political agenda in particular. But I think the evidence from elsewhere in the world is that this is a problem which will be the problem of the 21st century for people to tackle.
And is the reason that it's not so prevalent in Ireland because is the reason for that we aren't really experiencing much of the adverse effects of it? You know, you see some other countries and there's drought, they're having trouble growing their crops, but we're not really getting the worst effects of it.
Well, we don't have the catastrophic hurricanes and the catastrophic floods that some of the tropical countries do and that we read so much about. But it is true that we have in Ireland warmed by half a degree in the last 30 years. It is true that we're beginning to see more intense rainfall events, and we're beginning to see more problematical storms during our winter. But it's true to say that we have very short memories, and we don't remember these things once they're over, and we often think, oh, it'll never happen again. And as a result, we push climate change to the back of our minds, especially over the past few years. People have been more concerned with mortgages and with bank debt and all the rest of it. And in a recession, in austerity, people tend to think of climate change as something that they can not worry about for the next 10 years. But as our economy improves, as people begin to have more money in their pocket, they are beginning to think more about these issues. And in particular, they're beginning to think more about what it means for their children and their children's children. So I think consciousness is increasing quite dramatically at the moment in Ireland. And I think the events of, the climate shocks that we've had, the fodder crisis of a few years ago, has to some extent made people rethink their attitude to climate change. But having said that, it is a long way to move up the agenda before people in the media especially start taking it seriously as a major concern of people. But I think we also have to move away from that solely economic way of thinking. To some extent, we've become obsessed with economic issues. And with climate change, the science now is very clear. The economics are now occupying every waking hour of some of our politicians. But I think there's also a moral and an ethical issue to think about too. One of the things which has become clear in recent times, especially since the papal encyclical, is that we have moral and ethical responsibilities to meet climate change issues, and that we shouldn't solely allow economics to rule the roost in terms of whether we do or do not do the right thing in climate change. And I think it's very important because people, especially in Ireland, have an innate sense of morality and of ethical responsibility. And for climate change in Ireland, we are one of the highest greenhouse gas emitters in the world on a per capita basis. So if we think about culpability for what's happening, if we think about who is contributing to the 150,000 deaths per year from climate change that the World Health Organization claims exists directly and indirectly, then we in Ireland have our part to play as much, if not more, than many other countries. So I think we shouldn't just simply think of it in terms of my personal economic circumstances. We should think of it in terms also of how am I responsible for what's happening elsewhere in the world, and how can I do better? And it may be very small things that can be changed, but those things should nevertheless be tackled.
And do you think Pope Francis' encyclical will be a bit of a game changer? Because in the past, people didn't really talk about climate change in those terms, as in moralistic terms. But he's come out very strongly now saying it is a moral issue, and it is, you know, it's essentially a sin to be destroying our planet.
I think it's a tremendous document. I mean, whether you're religious or not religious, it's a superb piece of scholarship. And it's one which everyone should read, because it's written in such a way that you can get amazing amounts of information, but amazing amounts of, I don't know, inspiration out of it as well. And I think it will, if it's taken seriously, be a game changer. It makes the kind of statements which are necessary to make, and provides the kind of leadership in terms of tackling these problems, which sadly have been lacking among political leaders in the world over the past few decades. So I think I'd urge people to just have a look at it and read it. It makes all sorts of useful connections. One lovely phrase he has, for example, is that humanity and the environment will degrade together. The earth will go down, if you like, as humanity goes down. And it mentions and emphasizes the interconnectedness of our viability on this planet with what we're doing to nature. And when you read the actual wordings he's used, when you read the emphasis he has on a holistic approach to managing the earth, of a benevolent and benign view of nature, I think it comes across as a very powerful document indeed. You see, we have in ourselves deeply embedded in many of our consciousness this idea that we are there to subdue the earth, this idea that the earth is there to be used to simply satisfy our resource needs. And I think what the encyclical is saying is that no, that's not the way we should interpret these things. It should be a partnership. It should be one that respects the other. And I think with that kind of insight, we can actually achieve many of the objectives we need to achieve to tackle climate change.
Yeah, and I mean, some people, I mean, you're a scientist, and some people have said that Pope Francis, well, he actually was trained as a scientist, he trained as a chemist, but that, you know, as a religious leader, he doesn't necessarily have the same sort of clout or the same ability to talk about issues which are essentially scientific. What do you think of that?
Yes, I am a scientist, and I say even as a scientist, this is a scientifically robust and excellent document. He had the best advice possible from Professor Schnellhuber in the Potsdam Institute. He is a trained chemist, but more so I think we have to recognise that science never provides all the answers, and that you know, what we can see around us today is evidence that science itself will not solve our problems, that we need to have a rather more insightful view of things. And I think he does marry the science and the ethics superbly well in this document. It's one which is, as I say, very impressive to read. It's not that long, it's 100 pages, but there's only about 50 or 60 of them which I think would really be worth studying closely, because they deal with everything from the role of government, the role of environmental impact assessment, the role of non-governmental organisations, the responsibilities of politicians, the responsibilities of food producers. All of them are handled superbly in this document, and yes, even from a scientific point of view, it's faultless as far as I can see.
Mm-mm. Because, I mean, you touched on a point there that science doesn't always look at the ethical issues, and sometimes I suppose religion might not always take on the scientific perspective, so you need somebody who can bring the two together.
You do indeed. I have to say, to some extent, communicating the science of climate change has not been a success. You know, the message of the seriousness of climate change washes over people's heads still. And I think it's very useful to have another approach based not simply on scientific fact, but based on morality, responsibility, ethical considerations. And I think that's why this is such a powerful document as well. It brings another dimension and reminds people of the multifaceted nature of climate change, because we're not just simply talking about solving a greenhouse gas problem, because unless we will only solve it unless we solve wider problems at the same time. And I think Ban Ki-moon expressed it very well on his visit to Dublin a few weeks ago, where he suggested to the Irish government that they should bring to bear the same kind of energy and effectiveness which they have brought to bear on addressing the problems of world hunger and world underdevelopment through our missionaries, through the various aid programs that we have, that they should bring that same effort into the area of climate change, because he emphasised how closely intertwined those are. And he said essentially you can't have development without addressing climate change. And I think that's a very useful message, which says science alone will not solve the problems, that we need a wider context to operate in, and that wider context can be helped considerably by those broader considerations of morality and ethical responsibility.